welcome all of you to Grace Bible Church this morning. In our call to worship, I want to draw your attention to Psalm 119. We have been working through Psalm 119, looking at the phrase, "Teach me thy statutes." The word "teach" is used 10 times in Psalm 119. 7 of those times it's used in conjunction with "Teach me thy statutes." But I wanted to share with you 2 verses from the very beginning of Psalm 119 as we seek to worship the Lord this morning. Verse 4 says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Here we see the cry of the psalmist here as he realizes and knows God's command, God's directive, as it's been given here. "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." That's God's desire for us. And then our response is, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." We said on Wednesday night that the first thing that we must understand, the first attitude that we must have when we cry out to God for Him to teach us His statutes, is that we're to personally acknowledge our fallen nature and our ignorance of what is truly best, and therefore look to the teacher to learn what truth is. Here is the cry of the psalmist here. "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." An acknowledgement of the fact that we all have a sin nature. We are ignorant of what is truly best for our lives. And God wants us to recognize that. God has given us a command, and we fail so many times to do that. Here we have the opportunity this morning to gather around God's Word, to hear it, but not only to hear it, but to put it into practice. How many times do we fail? How many times do we come up short? I want to encourage you this morning that you seek God's face, but also that you might know His way, that you might know the way of His statutes that we learned last time from verse 33. But acknowledge the fact that you fail. Acknowledge the fact that we are weak. But God is powerful, and He can give you the strength to be able to keep His commandments, to keep His statutes. And so I want to encourage you today, as we have gathered to sing praises unto our Lord, to enter into praise in His presence, but also to hear from His Word, that you would cry out to Him this morning and say, "Lord, give me the strength to do what you want me to do," and God will give it to you.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books this morning and begin with number 126, please. Number 126, "Blessed Redeemer." Let's stand together to sing number 126.
Pray.
remain standing and bow our heads for prayer this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we can be here this morning. Thank you, Father, for your manifold blessings upon us, which we cannot even begin to recount. You truly, Lord, have blessed this nation. You've blessed this ministry. You've blessed our homes, our lives, this church, Lord. We have no complaint to offer before you this morning, but our hearts are full of praise and thanksgiving for everything that you've done, especially, Lord, the things that you've done for us spiritually. Lord, we were dead in trespasses and sins, and yet, Lord, through the plan of redemption, we've been able to be adopted, to taken out of the family of Satan and placed into the family of God, where even, Lord, you as the Son of God is not ashamed to call us your brethren. And Father, we thank you for the promises of Scripture this morning that we have. Lord, as we have sung this morning, because of those promises, we can have faith. We can look up to you. We read the Scriptures that you've given us. And Lord, we know that no matter the situations that we go through in our life here, whether they're joyous or whether they're dark times, that our faith can still be strong in you. And I pray, Lord, that as believers and as your people, that as our lives are viewed by others, they would truly see the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ shining out in us. And Lord, I pray that you would bless the gathering here this morning to worship you. I pray that, Father, our hearts are focused upon you, meditating upon your blessings, on your grace, on your greatness, and your goodness. And Lord, as we sing these hymns, we would continue to meditate. As we fellowship together with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then, Lord, as we hear your word preached, that our hearts will be open and receptive, and your Spirit would work in our lives this very morning. And Lord, I ask that you would bless the many needs that are on our hearts as well. Lord, there's many that are suffering and going through great difficulty right now, and Lord, we just ask your hand upon each one of them. Lord, we ask that you bless our ministry. Pray that you'd bless the student body. Thank you so much for the good student body you've given us this year. We pray especially for our seniors, Father, as they you would just bless and guide their lives, Lord, the plans that they're making. We think especially of our seniors here. You just bless them, Lord. And I pray that they would look to you for guidance and they would trust in you, Lord, for the plans that they're making for their lives. And Lord, I ask that you'd also bless the ministry of the projector, the ministry of the Bible club, and all the other aspects here of our ministry that you've allowed us to be a part of. May your blessings be upon it this year as we are able to reach, Lord, souls for you, as we're able to minister to children in the classroom, present the gospel to them. And Lord, I pray that you would just have your hand upon each one of those. And Lord, I also pray that, again, you bless our service this morning. Again, Lord, I pray that we would not be have a rebellious heart or a hard heart against you and what you would have to speak to us. But Lord, truly we'd stand before you with an open mind, open heart, asking, Lord, your Spirit to dig things out of us and to convict us. And may, Lord, we bring change and repentance to our hearts and lives for things that do not line up to your word. And I pray, Lord, also as we conclude in prayer that you bless our nation. Father, you have been so abundant to us over the years, and yet, Lord, we have seemed to turn aside. We've seemed to take our own way, to throw out the authority of the Scriptures, and to begin to have a humanistic mindset in this country. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to bless your people in this country. Lord, the small remnant that seems to remain, I pray that we'd be faithful to you. We continue to trust in your word, that we wouldn't let things around us get us discouraged, but we'd find our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray all these things now in his name. Amen. Be seated, please. Now to number 151. Number 151, maybe today. Number 151.
Thank you. waited all before me. There is power in your name. Yet you cared enough for me, Lord, one so small and so in need, that you left your home in glory to give up.
Turn now to number 226. Appreciate that good duet. We hope that this morning we do praise the Lord's name. That's what we're here to do in our worship service. Now let's sing number 226 as we continue. Before Brother Finney comes, number 226, All Your Anxiety, All Your Care, we're singing just on the first and last verses, verses 1 and 3, number 226.
Privileged today to have with us Evangelist Frank Finney and his family. Appreciate so much their willingness to come to preach God's Word to our hearts and also be with us for our graduation ceremony this afternoon. So, Brother Frank, come and share what God's laid on your heart.
Thank you, Pastor. Amen. Good morning. It is great to be with you folks again. And James chapter 4 is where we will begin this morning. James chapter 4. I was telling Pastor just a moment ago that in this coming 2 days, on Wednesday, we'll be having our summer staff arrive at the Bill Rice Ranch up in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and we'll have about 100 high school and college-age young people working with us this summer for the camp ministry. It's a lot to have hundreds and hundreds of young people from all over the country come in for a week of camp, and we have 3 camps that go on for 5 of the weeks in the summer: youth, camp for teenagers, junior-age young people at the ranch, 8 to 12-year-olds, and then deaf young people, ages 9 to 19, and all 3 of those are going on at the same time, the camps for those young people. And so I would ask that you pray for us in the coming weeks as we will be ministering to churches and young people from all across the United States. We have groups coming this summer from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan to South Florida to the East Coast and some from the West Coast. We have a group coming from South Korea again this year to the Bill Rice Ranch. And I don't know if I've told you this before, Pastor, but they come to the Bill Rice Ranch. They come to the United States and they go to Harvard, New York City, Washington, D.C., and the Bill Rice Ranch. That's a pretty cool thing. So the Bill Rice Ranch is right up there with Harvard and Washington, D.C. and New York. So if you haven't been to the Bill Rice Ranch, you probably haven't been to Harvard or New York. But sincerely, we want to encourage you to come visit us at some time. Our heart is for the lives of young people and adults to be changed by the preaching of God's Word. And I am thrilled to be a part of that ministry because it had an impact in my life in that very way. As a teenager, God used preaching at the Bill Rice Ranch in summers of camp to change my heart, to change my direction, and to focus on that which I've already heard from my parents and from my church, to encourage that good work that I had been founded in, and to see others that are doing the same. And that is our goal and our desire. Have you found James chapter 4? James chapter 4 this morning is our text. And we'll begin reading in verse number 1. James 4 and verse 1, the Bible says, "From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. I know those are words, a verse that you have heard many times, no doubt. Perhaps you've memorized. Perhaps you've known for some time. This morning, my question to you is, are you proud? Are you proud? Now, friends, this morning, that's an important question, because the ramifications of that answer are very, very important. They're important because of God's response, His consistent response to pride, and His promised response to humility. Both are important for us to consider this morning. God's consistent response to pride is exemplified throughout Scripture, and God's promised response to humility is as well. And how I view God's response to pride will indeed make a grand difference in my life and how I live. And this morning, I'd like us to look at this matter: am I proud? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would open our hearts this morning to your Word. I pray that your grace would be at work today, that your Holy Spirit would have freedom. And Lord, I pray that we would have a great amount of honesty this morning, because apart from that, apart from the truth being seen and understood as your Spirit teaches us this morning, we won't come away with anything that lasts. We won't come away with anything that'll matter in light of eternity. And Lord, I pray for one here today who perhaps has never considered their need of a Savior, that today would be the day that they would understand their need of Christ, and that they would humble themselves to the truth of the gospel. Lord, today for us that have trusted Christ as Savior, may our hearts be tender to what you desire to do today. And we will thank you, we will praise you, and we will give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. James chapter 4 is a very interesting chapter in the book of James, written to people who had been scattered abroad, people who had known the Savior and were in need of great reminders. And as you begin the verse of chapter number 4, verse 1, you seem to sense that there's a great amount of difficulty with these people. From whence come wars and fightings among you? That's not a grand way to start a conversation to people, but there were problems. There were difficulties that were taking place with these people. Where did those problems come from? Well, he points out that they come from their lust that war in their members. And as he works down through these lusts, these desires, he ends in verse number 6 by saying that God gives grace to who? The humble. And God's response to pride is resistance. You know, as we read the book of Proverbs, no doubt you've noted that the number of times the matter of pride is addressed is numerous. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. We find that pride is arrogance, thinking of myself more highly than I should in light of or in respect to God Himself and those around me. Pride is sin, and it separates me from fellowship with God. In Proverbs 21, verse 4, the Bible says, a high look and a proud heart, it is sin. In Proverbs 6:16, God hates pride. It's among the six things that God says are an abomination to Him. Friends, God's opinion about pride is one we well know. But yet, do we not often struggle with that very area? It is an area that is so difficult to deal with, often because the very moment I may have the concept that I have accomplished something in dealing with it, it's a tricky matter, isn't it? Because if I say, you know, I've gotten victory over my pride, I am very much in danger of having the very problem recur again in my humility, so-called. Friends, pride is something we all face, we all deal with, we all struggle with our old nature and its desire to be on top. Pride is one of the areas that this morning I believe that God wants us to look at in James chapter 4 because of God's response to humility and how pride keeps us from what God desires. Have you ever made a decision in pride and wished that you could take it back? Ever thought something so highly of yourself that you thought later, I wish I could take that decision back, that I could make that decision again? I remember when I was in high school, I made a decision that I regretted immensely. And I want to tell you about it this morning. My parents were missionaries when I was in high school. I don't know if I've told you that, Pastor. We were in Micronesia in the Pacific Ocean on an island called Ponape. Anyone ever heard of Ponape? Oh, more than I would have thought. On the island of Ponape, we had a radio station, and actually we played Aunt Carolyn on the radio station there in Ponape. And maybe I've told you this before. But on Ponape, my senior year of high school was on this island, and my mom was teaching in the school. My dad was working in the church and with the radio ministry and a lot of construction projects on the island with our church and the radio station. And I was a senior, my final year of school, on an island in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. It was a very exciting thing. And our school, we had a Christian school, that we were going to raise some money for a senior trip, and we were going to have a free car wash. I don't know if you've ever heard of a free car wash, but you don't ask money. People give you money because you're washing their car. It's a very novel idea. People were more generous than when you asked them for a certain amount of money. And so in any case, we were having this car wash, and I did not have my driver's license yet. Now, I knew how to drive. I had my permit back in the States when we had been on deputation. But when we'd gone overseas, it was a challenge to have your driver's license in another country. And so I'm 18 without my driver's license. How many of you teenagers think that would be frustrating? Okay, it was. I wanted to drive. I knew how to drive. But it was a good thing I didn't know how to drive because on the islands out there, the cars all came from Japan and the driver's steering wheel was on the right side of the car, which was a little challenging because we drove on the right side still. And in spite of that as well, nearly every car was a stick shift car. And so you shifted with your left hand and drove with your right, which is a challenge as well. Well, that day at the car wash, I had already thought through, what if someone asked me to move a car? And I knew already in my mind what I was going to say. Well, I don't know how to drive a stick shift. I knew that 99% of the cars on this island were stick shift cars. So I thought, I'll be safe. Because wouldn't it be embarrassing, teenagers, if someone said to you, hey, can you go move that car? And you said, I'm not supposed to drive. Now, I knew my parents didn't want me to drive. I didn't have a license. But who wants to tell someone, my parents won't let me drive? So I had another excuse. I would say, I don't know how to drive a stick shift, which was still embarrassing, but it was better than I don't know how to drive or my parents won't let me. So I'm being honest with you. That day we were washing cars and we were washing cars and we were washing cars, and someone said to me, can you move this car, Frank? Now, it wasn't just anyone. It was one of the girls in the class, a pretty girl in the class. And what am I supposed to say to her? Well, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I don't know how to drive. No, I said, I don't know how to drive a stick shift. And she looked at me and said something that would forever be so terrible. She looked and said, oh, it's not a stick shift. It's an automatic. Now, what do I do? I said, okay. And I got in the car. And as I recall, it actually had a steering wheel on the left side where it belonged. And I knew how to drive a car. But no matter what, I can't explain what happened that day. I got it into gear. I went to park it. And instead of hitting the brake when I got to where I was going to park it, I hit the gas. And I hit it with the same kind of force that I would have hit the brake. You know that that happens. Your mind crosses wires. And in a split second, you make a decision on top of a bad decision that ends up with some bad consequences. And this car hit another car. Now, no one was hurt. It just knocked out a headlight of the car I was driving and popped in the bumper of the other car. But guess what? I was in trouble. And more than anything, I knew I had failed. That I had failed to do something I should have done. And I'd made a decision out of pride. Have you ever been there before? Made a decision out of pride because of what other people thought, perhaps, or because of what you wanted people to think. You know, we live a lot to our pride, more than we recognize or are willing to admit many times. We care about what other people think. And is not what others think important? Certainly. But does it dictate your life? And does it dictate your life in opposition to what God wants and God desires? You see, my desires, my lust, will make me go down a road oftentimes away from what God desires for me. My flesh desires things against God's desires. My old nature yet resides within me, and I desire to fulfill the lust thereof. I will be going in opposite directions of God. And young person, adult here today, are you proud? Because to the extent that you are going in opposite directions of God, your pride is what is keeping God's blessing from you and God's grace. God says He resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. I want you to see this morning, and we're concluded very quickly, what pride will keep you from. Pride will keep you from admitting when you're wrong. Did you know that? Pride will keep you from admitting you're wrong. Now you say, that's so simple, Brother Finney. I've never heard anyone put it quite like that before. You know that pride will keep me from admitting I'm wrong. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? I say story. This prodigal son, his life was one filled with, I want what I desire right now. And I don't care what my father wants. I don't care what others want. I want what I want now. And his pride took him away from the father. His pride led him into a life of, at first, enjoyment. But what was the end of that? Do you recall? A pig pen. And eating what the pigs eat. And recognizing, I don't need to be here. Do you realize that pride kept him further and further? And I wonder how many days of eating pig slop he was into before he recognized, I don't have to be here. couldn't he have recognized it when he was just a few miles from home and turned around and came back? Couldn't he have? Certainly. Couldn't he have recognized it when he had spent half of all that his father had given him? Wow, this isn't going to last. I need help. No, he'd spent all and wasted his life with riotous living. And you know what? Pride enabled his heart to say, what I know of my father, I will disregard. I will not heed. I will go on in the way I desire. And pride kept him from admitting he was wrong and in need of help. But you know, there came an end to his pride. Could he not have died in his pride and starved to death in his pride? Certainly he could have. Do you know that God records for us in that very, very important parable that this boy, this young man, humbled himself? Remember his statement? Why do I starve? Why do I sit here in hunger when my father's servants have bread enough and to spare? I will arise and go to my father, and what will I say? Father, give me everything that I used to have. Is that what he wanted to get back? No, his intent, his heart was, make me as one of your hired servants. Friends, he saw himself as in need of humility. And at the moment in which he acted upon humility, and not expecting to have what he had had before, but expecting to have at least what the servants have, at least to have the opportunity to serve his father again, he went back. Now, you know what? Unless I agree about my problem, I can't fix it. Unless I agree with God about my problem, I cannot fix it. When I was a teenager, before my parents went on the missions, I worked for a pig farmer, Pastor. My parents lived in farm area where I grew up in Indiana, and one of the summer jobs I had was working with different farmers in the area, detasseling corn, pulling weeds out of fields. And one of the best paying jobs was working for pig farmers and using a pressure washer to clean the confinement buildings where the pigs live. And how many of you knew that pigs smell? Well, they smell really bad when they're inside. And when you've been spraying and washing and everything, it was so smelly. And I would come home and my mom would say to me, you get out of those overalls and you get a shower and you leave those things outside. They smell terrible. But you know what amazing thing happened as I worked in that barn? Over the hours that I worked in there, I soon didn't smell how bad I smelled. I think that makes sense. I soon forgot that this smells here and I got used to it. I got used to it. Even in the days to come when I'd go back to the barn, it didn't hit me the same way it did the first time I went into that barn. No, I got used to it. You know what? Sin and pride in my heart makes it so that I get used to my sin. And used to. I'm familiar with it. It doesn't bother me like it used to bother me. And until I admit what my mom is telling me, you smell. Okay, I'll change. I need to get clean. I can't get help, can I? No one would really like me much either if I didn't change. Now, friends, the same is true of our sin, of our flesh, of our opposition to God. Now you say, Brother Finney, I am not filled with pride this morning. I am not overtly saying, God, what you desire in my life, I am opposed to it. No, but let me ask you, what area of your life are you saying no to God about? Not in everything, but is there an area? Is there a specific thing that you yet live in pride over? Perhaps it's a particular sin that you have yet to admit to God that this is wrong. I know it's wrong. Everyone may say it's okay, it's decent in our culture today, but it's opposed to God's word. It's not holy. It's not square with God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. This isn't right. You know, the Bible says in 1 John, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth, His truth is not in us. You know, the problem is often not that we don't see our sin, it's that we've redefined it. If I ever say, I don't think, and I put God after that thing that I think, you know what I've just created? An idol. I don't think God cares if I What kind of shape does your idol look like? Because you've defined God if you are the one that decides what God is by what you think. How many times do we make up what we want God to be so that it fits with what we desire? And friends, if that's not pride, I don't know what is. Have you defined what is okay with God because of what you want? Or because you've looked to God's Word that gives us very clearly what God says He desires, what He is. What He is holy. And how do I match up in light of His holiness? You know what? Pride keeps me from admitting when I'm wrong. But not only that, pride will keep you from God's best. Do you know that in 1 John chapter 1, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto you." Actually, let's look at it. 1 John chapter 1. You're just a couple of pages from it. 1 John chapter 1, verse number 4. We'll begin in verse number 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you," why? "That your joy may be full." Do you know that when I live to my desires and my flesh, not only am I saying no, God, and God is saying no to me, but there is a lack in my life. There's a lack of joy, friends. When I am not in fellowship with the Father, I do not have the joy that God intends for me to have. "These things have I written that your joy may be full." And what is the message that they declare? Verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Friends, there's no peace with God for salvation until you humble yourself. There's no peace after salvation until we continue to humble ourselves in the eyes of God and say, "God says this is wrong, so do I." Friend, that is how you were saved. Do you remember? Unless a man humbles himself in the eyes of God and says, "I see that I am a sinner. I see that in the eyes of God, I am in need. I cannot help myself." You cannot be saved unless you need a Savior. I'll say that again. You cannot be saved unless you see that you need a Savior. If you say, "Brother Finney, I'm a good person, and I'll let Christ save me along with my goodness," that will not work. Your goodness cannot do anything to redeem you. Your good works, being here on Sunday morning in church, will do nothing to help your need be met before an Almighty God. Unless you humbly admit your need, you cannot be saved. We know that. But do you know that as ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him? Do you know that the same attitude of humility that admits my need of a Savior ought also daily be in my life when I admit my need for God's holiness that I cannot produce myself? And I recognize I am not in light. I'm in darkness in this particular area. I am honest about it. And pride will keep me from God's best unless I admit my need on a daily basis. I am in lack here. God's response to pride is this. No. No. "God resisteth the proud." That is a very strong, strong thought. God is at resistance. Is that a place that you desire to be in? Do you know that the lost man is at resistance to God? The Bible says that he is the enemy of God. We were enemies. Not because of his desire to be an enemy of us. No, because of my sin, I am his enemy. But because of the work of Christ, I can be made no longer an enemy, but an heir, a child of God, because of the work of Christ on my behalf. You know what? I don't desire to be an enemy again in my relationship with the Father. But my pride will create such a friction. You know that the life of a Christian, if it's filled with frustration and a lack of fellowship with the Father, it is not God's desire for it to be so. You know, as an earthly father, I may create friction between my son that is my fault. My son can as well, can he not? He can of his own desire create friction with the Father. And I as a father can create friction with my son. Hence the reason the Bible says, provoke not your children to wrath. But you know, God is not the one that's creating friction between me and him right now, if there is friction. It is not God who desires for you and he to be at odds. No, my friend, it is me. It is I who am creating that friction. And the Bible says in verse number 8 of 1 John chapter 1, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The deception is ours, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what? Pride will keep me from God's best for my life unless I admit my need. And I want you to notice in conclusion God's promised response to humility. Go back, if you would, to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, God's promised reaction to humility is found in verse number 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. God's enabling for that which I cannot do myself is available when I am honest before him about my need, when I admit I need help. The next verse says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Friends, that revival truth is a very powerful one. You ought never get tired of knowing the fact that as I make the decision today, no matter how long I've lived in pride about a specific area, and I draw nigh to God, his promise is that he will draw nigh to me. He promises such. Fellowship restored the moment, that's pretty weak, the moment I decide, God's right, I've been wrong, and I'm going to draw nigh to him, and he will draw nigh to you. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Do you know what God's desire for you and I is? That we seek humility. As graduates, isn't it easy for us to see the future and know that we've accomplished a great thing? And you have. And adults, many times we look at our accomplishments to this point, and they are many. If you've worked in a factory or a job in a business world for any length of time, you've had accomplishments. Perhaps you've been given notoriety for your accomplishments. Perhaps you've written, and your writings have been accomplished and published, perhaps. Do you know that there is still the need for you to grow, for you to accomplish more, and it cannot be accomplished apart from your humility? God's desire for you and I is that we would be humble. God gives grace to the humble. God rejects pride but embraces those who are humble. You know, that concept of being clothed with humility is one that we ought to desire. In 1 Peter 5:5, where the Bible speaks of that, that it would be what it is that we are known for. Does humility surround you? Isn't it far easier to be known for what we are proud of than it is what we have humility of? My need represented constantly before God, my asking for his help, rather than my reflecting on what I've accomplished. Do those in my house know humility in me, or do they only know of my accomplishments as I tell them again and again? Do you know that it's a very important thing for us to demonstrate humility And that's a hard thing to do, isn't it? Without appearing or attempting to be proud of humility. Do you know how we effectively demonstrate humility? By allowing God to work in us as we are humble. You know, people can see in my life when I admit that I'm wrong and that I need help beyond myself. Your spouse ought to know that of you constantly. They know it. You ought to admit it. Your children ought to know of your lack and your admission of your need of God's help in the areas in which you fail. Students, you ought to be quick to admit it amongst yourselves. Teenagers, you can admit to one another that you need God's help. You can talk of that. Does humility demonstrate the lifeblood of this church? It ought. It ought to. Because God's desire is that as we live in humility, God enables us. God gives grace to the humble. I want that grace. Do you? Now this morning, I want to ask you, are you proud or are you humble? In two areas, and then we're completed. This morning, are you humble regarding your need and your admission of it for salvation? Have you humbled yourself to the truth that you're a sinner in need of a Savior who died not for good people, not for church-going people, not for people who have done great accomplishments in their ability, but for sinners? The Bible said Christ died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And every one of us are in that unjust category because of our sin. We were born sinners. I am unjust in the eyes of a holy God. Have you admitted that to the God who made you and admitted your need of His Son, Jesus Christ, for your sin? Unless you admit that, you can't be made right with God through Jesus Christ. You can't ask for salvation from someone to whom you yourself expect to accomplish that work. Christ alone provides salvation. The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Unless you come through Jesus Christ, there is no salvation. Have you humbled yourself to that truth? And if you haven't, you can today. I would encourage you to today. Today is the day of salvation. Perhaps you've known that for some time and you have fought against it. And may I say that pride will encourage your heart against that. But God says He'll reject you if you're in your pride when you come to His Son, Jesus Christ. If you come to salvation with pride, He rejects it. So it is for us believers. Is there an area today that you as a child of God have lived in pride? You know, I could speak on specific areas, but I have no idea what God would work in any heart here today. And for that, I'm thankful that God knows your heart right now. And no doubt, I have no doubt that God is speaking to specific areas in your heart right now that have been filled with pride, that God is saying no to. And perhaps you've not been honest about the fact that God is saying no to it. But if God calls it sin, and I don't, I'm the liar. God is not, I am. And today there needs to be honesty. And in a moment, I'm going to challenge you to deal with God about that with which you've not been honest about. Because apart from such honesty, there can be no relationship that's growing, no fellowship that is sweet, no joy, and no effectiveness in this lost world to see others one to the Savior. That is our commission. That is why we are here, to go and tell. But it is a hard thing to go and tell others of the grace of God for our salvation when I am living in denial of it because of my pride, because of my lack of victory over sin. Friend, it need not be that way. And today, the answer to that problem is found simply in finding the grace that is available for you to have victory over sin. And it comes with humility and honesty. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Is that an invitation that you would accept this morning? You can only accept that invitation by humility. What will you do this morning regarding pride in your life? Could I have you have your heads bowed and eyes closed? I don't want to embarrass anyone this morning, but I do want to challenge you regarding this issue of pride. And I want to pray for you. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. And that time is for the purpose of getting help for need, taking time for yourself personally, where you sit or here at the front, to speak to God about the areas with which He's dealt with your heart this morning. And there is no doubt in my mind that every one of us, if God spoke to your heart, you could deal with what needs to be dealt with in this very moment as I speak. But I want to challenge you to consider it specifically this morning. How many of you that have trusted Christ as your Savior, this morning God has brought something specific to your heart and mind, maybe a number of things, that pride has been dominant in your life or in your mind, and it has prevented what God desires in your life. And you see it as sin this morning and would admit such. And you say, Brother Finney, would you pray for me? God has pointed out specific areas of pride in my heart and in my life, and I want to deal with it with God this morning. Would you just lift your hand? I will not point you out or embarrass you. I want to pray for you this morning. Lift it good and high so I can see it. Okay, thank you. All right, yes, sir. All right, anyone else? Okay, yes, ma'am. Okay. How many of you would say, Brother Finney, this morning, I am not sure of this matter of salvation because I've never humbled myself and admitted my need of the Savior. I don't know what it is to have peace with God because I've lived looking at what I can do, not at Christ alone. And I'm concerned about my soul this morning. I have never humbled myself to the gospel, to Jesus Christ alone as the one sufficient for my need. And I'm concerned about that this morning. I'd like for you to pray for me, Brother Finney. Anyone like that this morning, I will not embarrass you, but I'd like to pray for you. Just raise your hand up so I can see it. Anyone like that this morning? I'm concerned about my soul. I've never humbled myself to the gospel and admitted my need. Okay then, friends, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, perhaps you didn't raise your hand, but there's something specific that God's worked in your heart about this morning. Don't leave the same way you came. If there's still pride when you leave this place, you're living without God's power and fellowship, and it's not necessary. God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Will you seek humility this morning? As I pray, would you pray? And then we'll conclude this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray that you right now would continue the work that you're doing in hearts. I don't know what that work is. I don't know who this morning you're working in their heart regarding this area of humility and knowing fellowship again with you. But God, I pray that for those that raised their hand and admitted that they had need, that you would work specifically in their hearts and lives. God, I pray that they would know your presence as quickly as they've asked for you to work again. Lord, as they've admitted their need, their lack, they've admitted sin, Lord, you promise to draw nigh again as we draw nigh to you. And I thank you for that promise. God, I pray for this church that you would allow it to be known for humility, that it would be exemplified in our homes, in our private lives, in this community. Lord, that we would not live our lives with contention and trouble and strife, from which pride has a terrible way of destroying. Lord, may we be built up in you. And Lord, may we exemplify Christ to those around us as we're honest about sin and seek your face. Lord, we need your power, and I pray your blessing upon the rest of this time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you take your hymn book, please, and turn with me to number 308. Number 308. If the Lord has dealt in your heart this morning about this matter of pride, this particular hymn of invitation says, have you any room for Jesus? If there's pride there, there's no room for Jesus. I hope that you'll come forward this morning and take care of that matter. Come and kneel and pray and ask the Lord to cleanse you of the sin of pride and develop within your heart a spirit and attitude of humility. Why was God the Father able to embrace His Son? Because His Son was humble. Jesus Christ in humility came to bear our sin debt. And we need to examine our hearts this morning. Some have indicated that God has been working in your heart today. So would you come and take care of that matter? Would you stand, please? Number 308, have you any room for Jesus, He who bore your load of sin? Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for the Word of God. Your Word is so clear to us, and yet so many times we're unwilling to accept the simplicity of Your truths, rather instead to deal with our complications of sin. I pray, Father, that Your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts today. Lord, we all deal with this matter of pride. We puff ourselves up. We become arrogant in our way of living. We don't want anybody to tell us anything different than what we think. But I pray, Father, that You would help us to realize that when we lift ourselves up with arrogance and pride, You stand against us. You resist us. There is no embracing when there is pride. And so, Father, I pray that You would work in our hearts and that You would convict us of this horrible sin of pride and arrogance. And I pray that You would bring us to the place of humility, whereby we can know Your embrace and know Your special grace in time of need. Father, I pray that You would use Your Word in our hearts. I pray that Your Word would linger in our hearts, Father, that there would not be a turning away from it, but that that might be an embracing of the truth that's been given to us today. We thank You for this time together. We thank You for this time of worship. And we pray now Your blessings upon us as we gather again this afternoon at 3 o'clock. That Your power would be manifested in hearts and lives, and that You would strengthen Your servant, Brother Finney, as he proclaims Your Word. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.